Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU-LP, 101.5 FM, and on demand. Mark, I know that your next legendary band is still touring after 50 years. Can you please tell me more?
I will. They play a limited number of shows per year, and founding drummer Bobby Colombi has been personally involved in picking the best musicians to carry on the band's legacy. I'm talking about Blood, Sweat, and Tears. The original ensemble was formed in the late 1960s, where they practiced in a Greenwich Village loft. They knew they were onto something special when spectators gathered below on Bleecker Street and applauded wildly. Their debut album was a critical success, but a commercial ho-hummer, so personal changes ensued. Five of the original eight members remained, but four newcomers were added, including a British-Canadian singer by the name of David Clayton Thomas. They hit pay dirt with their second album, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and became an international hit. The LP topped the charts for 7 weeks, spawned three top five singles, received 10 Grammy nominations, and won three, including Grammy Album of the Year. And the LP was eventually inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Jim, what legendary band and LP did Blood, Sweat, and Tears beat out to win the Grammy?
Well, even though I like BS&T, they beat out Abbey Road by the Fab Four, so I'm not too sure I would agree.
Okay.
But I didn't get a vote.
All right, well, either did I. For today's Blood, Sweat, and Tears song, I could have chosen one of their more familiar hits, but I didn't. I've chosen the song that they opened with at Woodstock at 1:45 in the morning, and they woke up the audience. Here is More and More.
Sweet to me, each passing day brings us much closer together, and the love you give me, darling, just gets better and better. That's why my love for you keep on growing more and more all the time, more and more all the time. Yeah. Gonna say it again now, 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 like a ship that. You're apart from me, like old man time, you control my destiny. If from my life you ever decide to go, it would destroy in a second what took a lifetime to mold. And that's why my love for you just keep on growing more and more all the time.
Some fascinating trivia about BST. They were the first rock band to play Las Vegas, but their fans saw this as a sellout. And in 1970, They toured behind the Iron Curtain. It was sponsored by the U.S. State Department, and this also angered fans, so they just couldn't win. Jim, what do horn bands Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the Buckinghams, and Chicago all have in common?
Once again, they were all produced by James William Guercio, the Chicago-born musician, producer, and business entrepreneur.
Boy, he was everywhere. It's time to give our friendly neighbors to the north some musical love.
Yeah, the next band is from Canada, or should I say orchestra. I wouldn't call them a band, by the name of Lighthouse. Originally consisting of 13 members playing instruments from cellos to guitars and, of course, brass, with members playing saxophone, trombone, trumpet, and flugelhorns.
Ooh.
I'm not even sure what a flugelhorn is. And it's difficult to pronounce flugelhorn.
Well, the flugelhorn has a darker, softer tone and is better suited for melodic passages. How's that?
That's pretty good. Thank you, Mr. Music.
You're welcome.
Here's a little trivia. The trombone player in Lighthouse was Howard Shore, who went on to fame as the first music director for Saturday Night Live. And he also composed many movie scores, including Silence of the Lambs and Philadelphia. But back to the band, they played a combination of rock, jazz, swing, and classical to create a very unique sound.
I wonder if Electric Light Orchestra listened to them.
I'll call my friend Jeff Lynn after the show,
okay,
and find
out. Okay,
you
do that.
Yeah,
okay.
I've got his personal number.
Okay.
Not really. In 1971, they had a big hit with One Fine Morning from the album of the same name. The song was written by the band leader, Skip Prokop, who was a multi-talented musician. This is one great song. And Mark, you know, back in the day, Lighthouse played all the great venues and festivals, including Carnegie Hall, the Fillmore East and West. They also performed at the Isle of Wight and the Monterey and Newport Jazz Festivals.
Wow.
But one place they didn't play was Woodstock. They turned down that offer. Now, the next up is some guys from the old neighborhood that you grew up in. Who do you got?
Yep, my old neighborhood. The Flock were another short-lived brass rock band that blazed new trails. Original band members were Fred Glickstein on vocals and guitar, Jerry Smith on vocals and bass, Tom Webb on sax, Rick Canoff on sax and vocals, Frank Poza on trumpet, Ron Cartman on drums, and Jerry Goodman on violin and vocals. Legendary British bluesman John Mayall penned the liner notes for the debut album, and he wrote, "The Flock was the best band I'd heard in America," and he repeated those remarks a few months later when he watched them perform a second time. Today's Flock song is Clown, off the band's 1969 debut album, The Flock. Unlike the Columbia label mate Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the Flock's approach was more adventurous and avant-garde. They added a classical influence and secret weapon named Jerry Goodman, who went on to play with the Mahavishu Orchestra, Jan Hammer, the Dixie Dregs, and others. He's been called one of the best electric violinists in the business.
Well, I do think he's the best.
He's
fantastic.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you still owe me for getting you backstage at the Arcata to meet the original Flock members, Jerry Smith and Jerry Goodman.
Yes, and what a thrill it was. The two Jerrys signed my old Flock LP, and they were kind enough to chat. And you were blown away by Jerry's playing.
Well, it wasn't the first time I heard them. I actually saw the Flock back in the day. They opened for Wes, Bruce, and Lang at the Auditorium. And let's not forget that you and I will see the former Flockers perform later this month with the band Dinosaur Exhibit.
Mm, that's right. And they are a jazz rock outfit also with brass. The band is comprised of former members of three 1960s Chicago bands, The Flock, The Mauds, and Aura. And actually, we've gotten to know band member brothers Pete and Mike Flynn as well. But time is running short. Let's get in our remaining acts and songs. But first, you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, broadcasting on 101.5 FM. Jim, who's kicking brass next?
The next band up is the Tower of Power, the rhythm and blues, soul, jazz, and funk band, and is well known for their outstanding horn section. The Tower of Power was the brainchild of saxophone player Emilio Castillo, who grew up in a very tough area. His father gave him a choice of what to do to keep himself occupied and keep out of trouble, and fortunately he chose music. When Emilio got older, he wanted to form a band featuring horns, and he found his first recruit and fellow sax player Doc Kupka. Some of these names are hard for me to say. And the Tower of Power was born. Influenced by a Sly and the Family Stone concert, Castillo decided he wanted his band not only to be great musically, but also highly entertaining. In 1970, he added Greg Adams on trumpet and flugelhorn.
Oh, boy, there's that flugelhorn again.
Yeah, I know, softer tone and a trumpet. I got it. He also added Mick Gillette on trombone and trumpet. And no, he didn't play the flugelhorn, too. And another sax player named Skip Mesquite.
Well, you get all the hard names, Jim.
I know. And then by 1973, Lenny Pickett replaced Skip Mesquite. The band has had many vocalists through the years, but his best known vocalist is Lenny Williams, and he was a part of the band during their greatest commercial successes. In 1973, their song "What Is Hip" was written by Castillo and Kupka, along with drummer David Garibaldi. See, I could say the
good
Italian
one.
Names.
Yeah.
It features a very funky bass line reminiscent of Freddie King's song "Going Down," and it has a high energy groove that gets you up off your seat. So let's see you dance, Mark.
Yeah.
know, the Tower of Power horns were much in demand. They recorded with such diverse people as Elton John and Santana and Huey Lewis and Aerosmith. And Mark, you know, they still tour with Castillo, Kupka, and Garibaldi, still in the band, and it's a must-see and hear event.
Yes, and they'll be at the Arcata Theater in September.
I'll be there. Hey, I love this next Chicago legend you have coming up.
Yeah. Boy, you know, we are really promoting Chicago music. Mayor Lightfoot, give us a shout out if you're listening. In the summer of 1965, a multiracial group of Chicago musicians brought electric blues, rock and soul to an audience at the Newport Folk Festival. They were the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, led by Paul Butterfield. He was a University of Chicago student with a powerful voice and total mastery of the blues harp. And by the way, this was the festival where Bob Dylan borrowed three of Butterfield's band members and shocked the audience by going electric, which they didn't like. The band's first incarnation did not have a brass section, but included fellow University of Chicago student Elvin Bishop on rhythm guitar, Chicago guitar whiz, there's Mike Bloomfield again, Howlin' Wolf band member Sam Lay on drums and Jerome Arnold on bass, and keyboardist Mark Naftalin. The band went through several personnel and music changes. For example, they got more into Indian raga, more R&B, more jazz fusion. Into their blues rock foundation, they added brass. For today's Paul Butterfield Blues Band song, I've jumped six albums forward into their catalog to showcase their brass. The song is Play On from the 1971 album Sometimes I Just Feel Like Smiling, and I am.
Hey!
Although not a major commercial success, they are considered one of the most groundbreaking and influential bands of the era. And much like John Mayall's Bluesbreakers, several gifted musicians spent time in the band. Jim, one of the band's alto sax players was David Sanborn. Tell us a little about this guy.
Well, for starters, he's a Grammy Award winner, and he played with the Saturday Night Band. Stevie Wonder, The Stones, Bowie, Paul Simon, James Taylor, I think, too.
Wow.
And a lot of people.
Wow. Other brass players also are quite esteemed. Tenor sax man Gene Dinwiddie played with B.B. King and Greg Allman. Baritone sax player Ted Harris was the Supremes' music director for 16 years. And last but not least, sax man Trevor Lawrence played with Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Ringo Starr, John Lennon, and so many others, but we are out of time.
Well, that's our show for today about brass. Maybe we should do a show featuring great songs with brass. What do you think?
Okay, I like it. I'd vote for songs by Average White Band, Hawkwind, Earth, Wind & Fire, Rare Earth, Ice of March, Edwin Starr, and War, to name a few.
Yeah, so now I see you're finally a big fan of brass instruments after all that, and probably like the flugelhorn a lot better now, too. Anyway, Mark and I are on every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 and Fridays from 11 to noon, and our recorded shows are also accessible 24/7 on the station's website, huntleyradio.com.
Right. In our book, Classic Rock, photographs from yesterday and today can be found on Amazon, at the Arcata Theater gift shop, the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum gift shop, and a variety of music and bookstores.
And to view my classic rock photography, visit the website jimsamariaphoto.com. You could also find us on Facebook. Email the station if you have a particular music-related topic you'd like us to address.
And you've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU-LP 101.5 FM, and on demand anywhere in the world, including Aruba.
And Italy.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening.